on this side, we will look at affirmations of power. And we will look at developing within you what I call power mode, an essence of energy coming forward consistently, so that your life is not a series of ups and downs and highs and lows, that it is consistent, that you maintain a level of energy and you keep that level of energy going day by day, no matter what kind of things come into your life, what kind of difficulties, what kind of challenges, motion, travel, you know, comings and goings and so on, that basically speaking, the power mode is always there. As we look at power, we have to understand that it is okay to be powerful. And in our society, especially in the Western society, people have a way of shunning away from power. This was especially so in the 1960s and early 70s when people sort of developed almost like a paranoia consciousness where the CIA was hiding behind every bush and obviously the government must be, you know, infringing upon the people here and infringing upon the people there. When you say to people power, they cringe, they worry. They feel that power must mean manipulation, infringement. However, in the metaphysical sense, you have to decide to become powerful. If you do not decide to become powerful, you will not be able to control the reality around you. And reality will, in effect, control you. Power from within self is not an infringement upon other people unless you project that power to manipulate those people in some way, to infringe upon them in some way, or to act upon them in some way that does not honor them. However, you have to decide that within you it will be okay for you to become powerful. As you understand that being powerful does not necessarily mean infringing upon others, then suddenly you can grant yourself permission to become what it is you want. Becoming what it is you want is basically you saying, hey, I am going to manipulate my reality for my own benefit. And that does not mean that I am not a holy person, that I do not believe in God. It does not mean that I do not love myself or love the world or care for it or care for nature or the ecology or the dimension around me. It just means I understand that my gift, the greatest thing that I can do, is to become powerful within myself, silently powerful, not wielding that power, not wearing the power on my sleeve, not pushing around with it, not saying to people, come hither, I'm this great power, I'll show you the way, I'll heal you, I'll fix it for you, but just developing power within oneself so that the thought forms, affirmations, and feelings we create have power. You see, your thought form only exists in the strength that you are, because you are the creator of that thought form. It is like looking at an atomic power station and saying, what is the quantity of the electricity being generated here? Well, the strength or the quantity of the electricity being generated is only as strong as the power station, and you are a power station. As we will look at the strength of thought forms, I will give you five ways of working with thought power. However, before we can look at consciousness and power, I've got to ask you to look at yourself as a power being. Once you feel powerful, you can begin to identify who you are, and you can begin to identify what it is you want. And it is perfectly okay to want things. It is perfectly okay to say, I want this, this, and this, and this, and that, that, and that. You have permission, basically, to succeed because the life force or the God force is not involved in your day-to-day success or failure. It could care less how well off you become or how healthy you are or how happy you are. It is just a power within you that acts in an impartial way, empowering your life but it is not intimately involved in worrying about whether or not you're going to get a new car. It is not intimately involved in whether or not your life is working and there is strength in your environment, or if there is not. And so as you begin to understand that to be powerful, you have to feel powerful, then you begin to identify what it is you want, and you understand that you are going to achieve your goals through an interaction of consciousness, feeling, attitude, and action. Being in the physical plane, there is a point where there has to be action. And I've certainly witnessed many people on the spiritual path who take on the idea that their reality is created by consciousness and they feel that, basically speaking, all they have to do is hold the thought and somehow, some way, everything will be provided for. And I've watched people go from relevant affluence, relative control of their lives, to abject poverty using those concepts. You know, you can hold the thought, you can hold the power, all is well. The life force, the God force, Lord will provide, but there also has to be action because we are physical, and so at some point there has to be physical action. As you begin to look at what it is you want, I ask you first to consider those parts of your life that you no longer want. In other words, the more that you clear away, the more you open for other things to come into your life. And so in looking at what you want, take a moment to consider those aspects that you don't want, the clutter, the things that you have around you, the associations, the belief patterns, the attitudes, maybe the geographic area that you live in is something that you no longer want. Let us look at that, and let us look at those parts that you feel do not empower you. Then, having made up your mind to get rid of those things, and having taken the physical action of actually doing it, rather than procrastinating and saying, well, I'll heal myself next year, I'll fix it next year, I'll clear out the attic next year, so to speak, then you create an open space in which new energy can flow. Because as you are surrounded by this layer of thought, it is impossible to move into another space of consciousness or another dimension without traveling through the one that you are. The one that you're in now. You cannot take a quantum leap in consciousness and suddenly be someplace else. You can take a quantum leap and say, hey, I'm going to take a new attitude from today, but that attitude is going to take a while to layer around you, to become a force around you. And as you are putting in new thought forms, the old ones are still there, and they do not move unless you give them one hell of a metaphysical kick in the rump. It's a fact. Thought forms etch within the psyche, within the consciousness, tracks. They're like furrows or canals that you go down. And if you look at a person that has not done a lot of work upon themselves, they will tend to be surrounded by the same thought forms. They will think the same things, and they will think the same thought over and over and over again. And they will have a pattern of, let us say, 35 thought forms and variations of that thought form that they surround themselves with. And you will look at that and you will see where in your life there has been repetition, where there is the same thought form coming back over and over again, regardless of your physical circumstances or the dimension that you're in. I'm not just thinking of thought forms of, say, fear, or thought forms of lack of self-confidence or something like that. But there's other thought forms that we have, you know, sort of various fantasies that we live that come around in our mind over and over again. Various fears, you know, let's say the fear of being ripped off. And you'll find that maybe, say, comes into your mind over and over again in 95 different variations, but it's always there. You are this conglomeration of energy that is characterized or shaped according to the belief patterns and feelings that you have. And to change that, you involve yourself in an inner tussle. This tussle of you saying, I am power, and your mind responding, no, we're not. You know, you saying, I feel good today, and the mind saying, hey, we feel lousy, and we feel that somebody's going to steal our car while we're in the movies. That kind of energy pattern is not something that you can turn, push against and have it melt away. You can't melt, a million thoughts just by having a different thought. What you have to do is basically understand that the tussle will be continuous. And as you gain more and more ground, like an advancing army, you begin to consolidate areas within your psyche, within your thought forms, within your personality, and you win those areas over to a new energy. So you might say, I want to become a free, individual, positive, powerful person. Great. Okay, now step one is to make a move against, let's say, those parts of your mind that honor and dwell in fear. Okay, you might push against that fear with affirmations saying, I feel in control, I feel powerful, I understand that this fear is not rational, that it is coming forward from old programming, old stories, old films, old things that have gone on, old tracks inside the mind. I feel strong today. And you would go out and you would leave your car in a parking lot and you would not lock it for the first time, say, in 10 years. Feeling that you had the power within you to hold that car safe. That you had the power within you to do the shopping without worrying about the car getting stolen. Okay, as you begin to push into those areas, the mind, the ego, the personality, the whole psyche will push against you. Because it is not going to let you win the ground. The psyche or the ego has a way of making you sick to control you. It has a way of making you fail to control you. It has a way of making you scared to control you. Because it has a personality of its own. It is a conglomeration of consciousness that is a person. And it's as if there's two of you in there. And each one of you is battling for control. And so bit by bit, as you develop power around you, you develop a foundation on which your army is going to gain control. Without power, you'll have a thought form, you can have a fantastic affirmation, you can walk out of the day feeling great, hey, this is a sunny day, I feel marvelous, and suddenly, bang, something can happen, it'll just knock you right off your horse. So we're looking at creating an ambience of power around you. First of all, I'm going to ask you to write down on a piece of paper 10 things in your life that you want. Now, if you don't have 10, then write 3 or 5 or as many as you things as you have. There's no reason why we pick 10. It's just an arbitrary figure. But let us write down those things that you want. Then, when you begin to look at or meditate upon those things you want, you may find that when you really truly feel it out, you realize that you don't actually want that. You want something that is associated to or close to that. So you may want to, say, move from the town that you're in and go and live in a city 1,000 miles away. And you may say, I want that. But actually, when you look at it, what you're saying is, I want to create a fresh energy within me, an energy of change. And you represent that in the mind as saying, hey, I want to move to Chicago, where in fact, you can probably create the energy change across the street. However, as you look at the things that you want in life, I want you to begin to formulate affirmations of power around you that are actually going to deliver the things that you want. The first affirmation of power is you have to have intention. You have to actually want it. So many times we think we want something and we have absolutely little or no intention of going and getting it. How much or how many of those things that you want are real? Do you actually want them? Do you actually need them? Is it important to you? Or is it just a daydream, a fantasy, one of those, oh, wouldn't it be nice to spend 6 months on a beach in Hawaii, that kind of thought form, which is that actually what you need? Maybe it isn't. Maybe it is. And so as you begin to look at what it is you want, we're going to look and see how strong the intensity is. Think of this. How many times in your life have you, let's say, for example, been in a situation where you're desperate? You know, like there's some desperate situation has come around you and you absolutely categorically have to have $300 by Tuesday, otherwise all sorts of mayhem is going to happen to you. And somehow, some way, the universe or the God force provided it. Somehow, some way, you were saved or the situation was fixed. Okay, what created that? Was that some kind of sort of metaphysical breakdown service, or was it the God force with its sort of little breakdown service coming along and saving you because you needed it? No, it was the intensity of your need. It is the parabola or curve of the thought form is so tight, so concentrated, so desperate because of your need that you literally forced reality to give you what you want. It's as if you forced the universal law that your density was so strong that the congruence, it pulled to it a congruent thought form. You know, hey, I need this by tomorrow, and suddenly, from out of the clear blue sky, there it was. It was the intensity of your feelings, the density that literally attracted. The same way as in the physical plane, a large planet will attract to it a small moon, because of the density of the large planet in relation to the density of the little moon, the density of your intention, the concentration of your intention, pulled to you in desperate times that saving energy, that saving situation. Okay, as you identify what it is you want, you understand that those things that you do not really want, those things that border upon fantasy or daydream, you will never have. You will only ever accomplish those things that you genuinely feel you can materialize from within you, that you genuinely have an intensity about. And if your thought form is wishy-washy, or it doesn't have the power mode that we're talking about, it will never come about, or almost never. As you develop intention, you also have to lock into that intention dedication. And dedication is another one of those power mode energy bases that will lay the foundation for you. Most people quit a long way before the end. They quit before they get what they want. If you can understand that you look at what it is you want, you hone it down to those things you really want, and then you lock in dedication, that is consistency, you will find that the universal law has to give you that thing that you need or that thing that you want, because your dedication is an affirmation of power. It is you saying, I will never quit. I want to become an architect, and I will never quit until I become it. And in that dedication, you move forward. You move through all of the resistance, all of the difficulty, all of what looks hopeless at the beginning, and riding this dedication energy, you lock in around you the power mode of understanding that you will never, never quit until you get what you want. Dedication is rare. It is very rare that you meet people that are dedicated. Most people are so gummy, so sloppy, that they, you know, what they put in is so weak, they get very little out. You can have a person that has very little education, that has very little going for them, no capital, no finance, not much, but they're dedicated, and they make it. And you know those people, and perhaps you're one of them. And perhaps you've watched dedication unfold in your life, and you've watched it materialize the things you want, and you've experienced the pleasure of having those things materialize around you. Okay. After dedication and persistence is basically the same thing. And within that area, we also have to look at inventiveness or craftiness. And craftiness is not necessarily an energy of like the Artful Dodger or something. It's craftiness is saying, I am going to learn about the physical dimension that I live in. I am going to understand how it works, and I'm going to work with the way it works. And so if, say, for example, you're selling real estate, craftiness is understanding your craft, is understanding that, say, selling real estate is a factor of financing. And so you would understand financing. You would know where to get it. You would know who the savings and loans companies were. You would understand the interest rates. You would understand creative financing. You would understand, you know, home loans and mortgages. And you would understand it. And people, generally speaking, want to materialize their dreams, but they don't hold within them craftiness. And craftiness is understanding and taking time, taking the botheration to understand how this dimension works. It's amazing how many people are wandering around the physical plane and haven't got a clue how it works. Haven't got a clue, say, how to get money. Haven't got a clue how to do the things they want to do. Haven't got a clue how, let's say, the mind of man actually works. If you do not understand how people work, what motivates them, how would you get them to do what you want? So in understanding craftiness, you understand that thought form is an affirmation, feeling is an affirmation, but craftiness is also the ability of understanding the physical plane, understanding people, understanding psychology, understanding in your area of expertise how the system works. If you do not have a skill, if you do not have a knowledge, then you have to develop one. Most people are not very good at what it is they do, and so they don't get paid a lot. Most people will not take responsibility for their life or for anything else, and so they don't get paid much. A person, let's say, like the chairman of a huge car company, who maybe earns $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million a year, gets paid that kind of money because he or she is open and wide and big enough to accept the responsibility of something as big as that. You do not get paid for being little. You get paid for being big, for taking the responsibility of being big. And so as you look at what it is you want, you will look at the dedication, you will look at the craftiness, and you will look at creating an energy of persistence within that. All of these things become affirmations of power. They become affirmations of dedication. Some years ago, I was with a group of guys, and there were about 40 men, and we were on a project, a building project in Southern California. And one day, at a sort of staff meeting, the director of the project said, "I bet that you guys cannot dig a hole the size of a house using no mechanical equipment in less than 2 days." Well, we all took upon ourselves this challenge. And we went out to the building sites, and with just picks and shovels, you have to imagine, a hole the size of a house, it's big. I mean, it's like 60, 70 feet one way, it's 30, 40 feet the other way, and it goes down, you know, like 60 feet, 50, 60 feet, because that's how high the house would be if you had the two stories and a roof and a chimney and so on. So we began to dig this hole, 40 people. There was no pay involved, it was a bet between us and the director of this project that us 40 guys could dig this hole. Well, as we began to dig, we were digging steadily. You know, we started about 6 o'clock in the evening, and sort of later that evening, it was sort of stayed light to about 8 or 9 at night. And we realized that even after 4 or 5 hours of digging, that we hadn't made a lot of progress. So we obviously realized that in order for this project, for us to win the bet, we would have to dig all night. So we found some lights, and we rigged up these lights, and we began to dig. And as we began to dig through the night, okay, it began to rain. And as it rained, the dirt in the hole became more and more muddy. And as it became more and more muddy, it became harder and harder to dig, and it became harder and harder to take the earth from the hole out of the hole. Because as the hole got deeper, the climb that we had to get the hole out got steeper and steeper. And so, bit by bit, round about, let's say, 4 o'clock in the morning, we really felt that we had been defeated, you know, like there was no way that we were ever going to be able to dig this hole in two days. And then suddenly, some guy came up with this simple little idea of rigging up a system of, like, ropes. And so there would be one person would act as a mule, and he would be roped to the wheelbarrow, and he would haul the wheelbarrow, and somebody else would push. And with this sort of mule system, where you had a mule in the front hauling the wheelbarrow, we found that we could get the earth up out of the hole, even though it was raining. Well, by about 9 or 10 o'clock the following morning, it stopped raining. And we pushed past, we pushed with dedication, with persistence, and with the craftiness of this guy inventing this system with the rope and hauling the barrows up, and we began to dig at a steady pace, putting one consistent amount of energy on top of the other. Layering energy, let's say, laying one amount on top of the other, and nobody slept. And from time to time, you would take a break, but you would go to the side of the hole there in the building site, and you'd lie down in the sun for an hour or two and rest. But bit by bit, everybody became energized by the project. And of course, what happened was that as the energy of these guys digging in this hole, digging with this mule system, inventing the craftiness, bit by bit, we began to get stronger and stronger. And through the second night, there was this power of these people digging all of the time. There was earth moving all of the time. And there was this symphonic arrangement where you had all of these guys in the hole and nobody hit each other, or there was nobody like got a pick in the head. And bit by bit, as we came into the second day, we realized that we were a little bit behind the schedule, like we were going to lose. And so these men that hadn't, like, they hadn't slept for a day and a half, and they'd been literally doing this incredible physical digging, they began to move faster. They began to lay power affirmation upon power affirmation. And so the affirmation up to that point was, hey, we've dug this much, we've invented these systems, and here we are, but hey, we need more power. So they began to pull from within themselves even more strength, and they began to run. And it was almost like it would bring tears to your eyes, because it was so amazing to watch these guys so exhausted but running. And the last 8 hours of this whole digging bet or this whole digging enterprise was done on the run. And in the last sort of 45 minutes, when the project was coming nearing completion, the speed that these men moved at was like literally almost at a sprint. And the hole was finished to dimension and size exactly perfectly with about 15 to 20 minutes to spare. So it took the whole of the first day and 23 and three-quarter hours of the second day to make this thing happen. But they completed the bet. They completed the whole. And as you look at developing power mode around you, you will find that as you layer thought form upon thought form, you will create around you energy. Then you may find that you have to pull from within you to create even more energy. But as you become energized, moving towards those things that you want, you will find that in moving towards them, using the craft that you have, understanding persistence and dedication, you will be able to materialize those things that you want. And coming into that understanding as you go, you will begin to feel a freedom. You'll begin to be able to say, I can do it. I can materialize those things I want. And basically speaking, you will experience your word as law. Now, we've discussed that topic in my book, The Force, a little bit, but let me just discuss it here as it applies to affirmation. When you were a small child, you would come up with ideas. You know, you would say, hey, I'm the big chief of the Uli Guli tribe. And your dad would say to you, ah, shut up and get in the car. And so bit by bit, you would create your, you know, you would create an idea and it would be knocked down. You would go out into life as a teenager and you would create, let's say, an aspiration. Hey, I would like to do this. And suddenly you would be knocked down by society because you didn't have the qualifications or you didn't have the wherewithal. And bit by bit, we lose the power within us that says, my word is law. In other words, if you say, I will dig this hole in 2 days, if you have created power mode around you, you'll dig it. If you say, I will write a hit record within 18 months, that is your word as law. And so bit by bit, as you develop power around you, you'll be able to say something and know that you have the wherewithal to deliver. Then when that thing gets delivered, you anchor it or lock it into your thought pattern or to the storage of the beliefs around you, and you say, hey, last year I said I could dig a hole in 2 days and I dug it. You know, this year I'm going to materialize a new car and I know I can do it. And then when the new car comes, you build one affirmation upon the next, developing around you this energy of strength, of success, so that when you move out, you move out in a cautious, measured way, but you also know that you're going to win. You know that there may be ups and downs, and maybe at halftime you might be 15, 20 points down, but by the time the game's over, you'll win. And understanding this concept of you working with your consciousness, you'll be able to see more and more that within you, you create an idea, you voice that idea to yourself, hey, I will materialize this creativity. I will do this thing in my life. And then bit by bit, you will see it realized. And each time you take a thought form from within you and you see it realized in the physical plane around you, that in itself begins to develop power mode. Power mode can be just small successes. It doesn't have to be some incredible thing. It can be just little things. You know, arriving to work on time, you know, I don't know, mowing the lawn, small triumphs. But as you begin to work with your word as law, you begin to celebrate your personal triumphs. And as you begin to celebrate those triumphs, you create around you the foundation. And that is the second step, so to speak. The second step, the first being understanding that infinity that we talked about in the first side of this tape. The second step is this power mode foundation. Then you can begin to use affirmations and they will work. If you don't have power mode, you could say, I feel great. And the mind will go, no, we don't. So as you develop that, we'll now go on to the next tape. We'll talk about affirmations of word, of thought, of feeling, of essence. And those affirmations laying upon this power mode foundation that you have around you will work and you will materialize those things that you want. At this point, please go to the second tape. Thank you.